Poutini friends, welcome in. You're listening to Jawa Chatter, and today we are having a little chat about some Star Wars shows. But first, let's introduce everybody. We have Claudia, who's really just not really a Star Wars noob anymore, but sure, let's go with that.
Hi, friends.
Nerdy, who is probably making faces at the camera, but I don't have him up yet.
I was not.
Allegedly not. I will go back on the replay. On the footage.
For legal reasons, this is a joke.
When I edit it, I will find out.
You keep introducing these shows with not what the topic is. Because we're not talking about Star Wars shows. That is misleading information.
It's wishful thinking. It's called clickbait, nerdy.
It is wishful thinking. Yeah. The topic of today, you can't clickbait once you're already in the video.
Watch me. It's called a double clickbait. It's called the hook.
That's called people not retaining their viewership of our channel. Today we are... Jefferson and I are already at each other's throats. It's going to be a good episode.
We are
talking about the characters that we think will lead a Disney Plus show in the near future that have not yet been announced. So we're talking about fictional television shows that will take place in a fictional universe.
Well, we're going for one that we think will be a possibility ever. And then a one where we just like wishful thinking, probably never going to happen, but your fantasy one that will probably never play out.
You didn't tell me about that second part, but
I did.
Thankfully I have something locked and loaded in the
bank
ready to go.
Oh, I already know you have everything locked and loaded. So yeah.
I want every character to have a show. I just want every single Star Wars character.
That can't be your answer. Absolutely cannot be your answer.
No, I've got two. I've got two ready to go.
Yeah, no, I believe you. I'm kind of curious. Let's just throw it to Claudia, and I think I already know what she's going to say. We have done something like this similar in the past, one of our first episodes, but we actually were talking about movies and shows. And for movies, I feel like we kind of know at least what's in the near future. We have Taika Waititi, but we don't know his trilogy and/or movie is going to be about. Maybe not. Maybe it's Chewbacca's grandmother. Maybe he'll change his mind. You never know. It could happen. And then we have, you know, Rogue Squadron. And outside of that, you know, That's all the movies we have, at least that we know of right now. But show-wise, seems like I'm going to keep pumping them out. So I'm just kind of curious, Claudia, which one do you think will have a character from Star Wars lead it a show? And why? What's your argument behind that?
So I think, and I hope, that one will be led by
both.
Kira. Just kind of going over her relationship with Darth Maul and like what her life is after she kind of separates from Han and that part of the story, because, you know, Dave Filoni loves filling those gaps in that little in-between time. That's the area that he lives in. And I also think that the fact that he came back, I know that we're told that in Clone Wars, I haven't got that far yet, but I have been watching it quite a bit. Like, Maul comes back from the dead because that's what Sith do, apparently.
What? No. What?
Just a flesh wound.
He is never dead.
No. So, finding out that relationship and also seeing, I think in live action, would be very, very cool. I would enjoy that a lot.
Okay. But that sounds more like of a want than your argument for the one that...
I said Dave Filoni loves filling in the gaps, baby.
That's it? That's your argument? Okay.
Yep.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like, a lot of the shows... really have just been more of like the in-between, like the characters that we already know. And
how do you think Obi-Wan have been? How do you
think Boba Fett?
I'm agreeing with you.
We love the little crevices of
Star Wars.
We like the little crevices.
I don't know. I feel like the only crevice show that we've really had so far is Mandalorian, right? Because like Book of Boba Fett isn't really a crevice show. Book of Boba Fett is a spinoff of the... Is Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan's the only crevice show we've had. The Mandalorian wasn't really a crevice. Like, they really expanded into their own part of the universe.
What about Book of Boba Fett, though?
Book of Boba Fett is a spinoff of Mandalorian, though. It's almost even a season of Mandalorian.
Okay, but originally when we thought we were getting the show, we thought it was going to be the crevice. Like, you know, how does he come back into it? And then it was like,
it's what people wanted to know about, like, what happened with Boba Fett after he fell in the Sarlacc pit. And to me, that does feel like filling in, like, a gap about a character.
Yeah, because we all had the thought that he died. And he did.
It's not a gap because we don't know the ending of it, right? Obi-Wan is a gap show because we knew where Obi-Wan was coming into the series and we know where he is afterwards. But for Boba Fett, it's just his next story. And I think that like the sequel trilogy isn't a gap after the original trilogy, it is the next story, right? So I think that for the most part, Ahsoka is going to be the next story in Rebels. I think that we're not, Obi-Wan Kenobi really is like in between thing. But outside of that, none of these shows really feel like in-betweens, except maybe Andor probably will. I think that'll have more of that like in-between feeling. I don't think Skeleton Crew is going to have that in-between feeling, you know? I think that's all the ones we have that we know about, right? Bad Batch doesn't really feel like it's an in-between thing. It really does feel like it's continuing the Clone Wars. Although obviously that could lead into Rebels. That one's a little bit more nebulous, especially with Hera Syndulla being in so much of the first season. But I do like what you're saying about Kira here, because Kira, weirdly, Kira's show, if it has Darth Maul in it, will be a gap between a movie and a comic book run. Because Kira's the last live action appearance of her, obviously, is from the end of Solo, where she's talking to Darth Maul. And we have seen her recently pop up in the War of the Bounty Hunter storyline for the comics years later. And I'm pretty sure, the War of the Bounty Hunter is post Maul's demise. So we do kind of have this situation where if we were to do a Kira show, it would be a bridge between a character who has been represented in two very different mediums. In a third medium. And I would like to see how they handle that. But it would be funny to see a television show that has to be beholden to like, well, in the comic book that follows this, she has to be here. So you kind of have to play into that. But I would love to see a Kira show. I think Emilia Clarke is obviously a little bit busy at the moment, but she's busy with Disney. And so, you know, that brings her under the mouse's umbrella. And who knows what that could lead to.
Yeah, and she's not under any scandal like a lot of the DC people. So I think they're good to kind of move her over to Star Wars type show.
I do appreciate Jeffers is taking up interpretive mime. We do, this is a podcast. This is a notoriously auditory experience.
Yes, but I'm not going to interrupt you. I do want to say that if it's not a gap show, a lot of them do continue characters. Like none of them are like been a lot of original, except for Mandalorian, and then we have Acolyte on the horizon. Otherwise, we're dealing with pretty much characters we know from something else, from Clone Wars, from the original trilogy, from the prequel trilogy. So like, yeah, I mean, Kiara,
right? But Clone Wars was a gap show, literally. Like,
oh,
it was
no,
filling
for
the
sure.
Gap.
And that's what I'm saying.
And so you end up in a position where, like, is it a gap show or is this just the style of storytelling of Star Wars? Because if everything is a gap on a gap on a gap, then you have every mall across the United States of America, right?
No, because those are becoming ghost towns or ghost malls.
I don't know. The gaps are still going strong where we are.
Like, the Gap is going strong where you
are? Yeah, it actually had its first profitable year.
Established in 1969, baby.
It had its first, like, profitable year in, like, 15 years or something, just because of the Y2K movement. Fun fact.
Jeffers, are you positing a world in which the Gap, they had the idea for the Gap, but they waited until 1969 to open one?
Yes.
Where they're like, we have this great idea for clothing store, but we have to launch
They had it in 1967. They're like, you know what? Let's just wait a little bit.
Was 69ing a thing?
I think
69ing is like relatively recent.
I don't think any of us are old enough to know if that was true back in 1969, honestly.
I don't know.
I mean,
people
in
the 60s were on a lot of drugs, so probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so Nerdy, what's the one that you think will happen? Has a possibility to happen, and why?
I don't know if this character is going to lead a show, but I think she will.
Okay.
I think that what we are going to see, because what we know about the Disney Star Wars era is that they love vaguely white, vaguely British, vaguely brunette women.
I mean, you're not wrong. No, you're not wrong.
The leads of modern Star Wars are vaguely white, vaguely British, vaguely women.
That's why I'm laughing.
Is there a single blonde
woman?
Yeah, there's not.
No.
That's interesting.
No, name one.
Is there a blonde in all of Star Wars? In animation, there is. Omega is blonde in Bad Batch.
But anybody else? Anyone got anyone else? No, you don't. He's right.
Donald Gleason is like that strawberry blonde. So he might be the closest. And he's not blonde.
Yeah.
He's definitely a ginge, but that's funny. No, my pick is yet another character who I think would have a vague British accent. And that's Dr. Aphra. Another comics creation
from I can see that.
Darth Vader run. Uh-huh. My girl is LGBT. My girl is hilarious. My girl already has two built-in droids that are known for their comedic prowess and also for the enjoyment they feel in murdering humans.
I was going to say, their comedy is just like murder.
There is so much potential in a Dr. Aphra storyline.
Yeah.
And I was recently talking with the editor, Heather Antos, who created the character. I have a signed Dr. Aphra 3¾ model on my shelf there. And she did not say no when I asked if we were going to see Dr. Aphra in live action. All she said was, I know more than you know. And I was like, cool. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I just think Dr. Aphra, in terms of characters, I think Dr. Aphra makes more sense than anyone.
Yeah,
and
that's a good one.
I just think there's so much potential there. It would be a fun way, if they want more Vader, to have show some comedy with Vader, because the Aphra-Vader relationship is kind of hilarious and wonderful and beautiful in its own weird, sick, and twisted way. And I think that if they want an LGBT lead of a Star Wars thing, they don't have a better character right now. They don't have someone who people would be so excited for. Everybody loves Aphra, you know what I mean? She's so non-controversial. And I just think that this space age LGBT Indiana Jones lady is just kind of like the perfect Disney Plus character. So that's my idea. I think they would launch that around next year when Indiana Jones comes out. They will do a little corporate synergy. Summer 2023, we'll get Dr. Aphra the series.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was going to actually say the exact same thing you said about Darth Vader. They love just throwing Darth Vader a little bit into shows or movies any chance they get, and this would be perfect. So I think that would even makes the position stronger. So yeah, that was a good one. I didn't even think about that. I like it.
I know we talked a little bit about Dr. Aphra at Celebration.
Yeah, that we saw a good amount of cosplays. They're really good.
So technically she's in the Rebel Army, but she's an Imperial spy, correct?
No, she's an archaeologist that Vader hires to do things for him. She basically is like a freelance evil doer.
Yeah, yeah, I get the Indiana Jones synergy now.
But her droids are super evil.
Oh, God, yeah, the droids, yeah.
She's very like morally gray. She's more similar in personality to like Han Solo in terms of like her morals.
She looks out for number one. I feel like she looks out for number one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she doesn't like enjoy killing. She's not dark side. But by the nature of her work, she gets hired by Vader.
Yeah, yeah.
And they develop this weird relationship, and it's really wonderful. If you've never read the original Disney Marvel Darth Vader run, it is so good. Introduces Dr. Aphra. She's had a great run since. She's just an incredible character. She's one of my favorite characters in modern Star Wars. And she's great. Yeah, she's not like a spy. She's off doing her own kind of adventures. Some of her comic adventures are a little weird, even for Star Wars. Yeah. But they're super fun.
Yeah, she's not like twist of the mustache though type villain. I think is. Kind of help if that helps.
She's not even really a villain anymore. Yeah. Like now she became popular enough that now she's mostly a hero. She kind of got like a similar treatment to Harley Quinn. She's like now like she's now a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she got too popular.
At the very least, and like an anti-hero. So
Yeah.
All right, cool. No, I think that would be so cool. I would actually love that series. That would be the only reason I think I'm like Disney, I'm kind of like is that it's a bit way out of left field compared to what they normally do. They usually play it pretty safe, I feel like, for a lot of Star Wars content so far. But I would love that, honestly. It'd be a great series.
Be playing it safe, though. They can put Darth Vader in the trailers.
Right. But
you know what I mean? Like,
and I don't... Look, every company has this thing, but like, let's be honest. Disney's not very good with LGBTQ anything. They more just allude to it. They always like leave like a little like, oh, yeah, they go in after the fact. I'm like, yeah, that character was gay. And I'm like, well... Just go all in, guys. It's gonna be okay.
What you're saying, I think that is, and this is tough to talk about, right? Because
it is
very complicated.
Yeah,
I think that's more of a movie issue, and that's why I don't think we'll get a Dr. Aphra film, right?
Oh,
because
no.
the problem with the movie industry right now is that a lot of these big budget movies are trying to play internationally, and they're just countries that will ban the film. Look at how many countries banned Buzz Lightyear because there was a very short kiss between two women as a door closed. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So the, if you want to have a $250 million movie and you want to play in every country around the world, it becomes limiting. And it's tough to go, hey, we have a movie that China would allow except for this one beat. Let's finagle a way around it. And like, look, I'm bi. I'm here for bi representation, gay representation. I want more of it. But I'm also like, I understand the realities of a $250 million movie. A Disney Plus show doesn't have that same expectation in terms of viewership.
Yeah.
Disney Plus made Love, Victor, which is an explicitly gay love sitcom show. You know what I mean? Like, Disney Plus is making queer content. And so I think that there is room for Dr. Aphra on Disney Plus in a way that, yeah, I don't think they're going to make a $250 million Dr. Aphra movie.
No.
Because it will be banned across the Middle East. It'll be banned in China. It will be banned in certain countries. And, you know, there is a large chunk of the viewership in the United States even that not show up that movie because of that. Buzz Lightyear got that backlash.
Yep.
Even though the, like, LGBTness of Buzz Lightyear is the most minimal thing in the world.
Yep.
It is as small as it could possibly be, and people are still so upset about it, right? And it becomes tough. Doctor Strange in Multiverse of Madness had a queer character in America Chavez. Her moms were lesbians who I think held hands before they died.
Yep.
Died. And then America has a pin on it with a rainbow on it, and people freak out.
Yep.
They're like, oh, I can't support the wokeness. The wokeness of the gays.
The wokeness of people that just are existing and living their lives. Yeah, so woke.
Yes, not harming you at all. Wonderful.
Anyways.
And so, yeah, it's tough. I think that Dr. Aphra is more of a series character right now than a movie character, because I acknowledge it's not going to be a $1 billion franchise because it won't play in certain markets.
Yeah. I hope we see that series in general, though. That would be awesome.
So. What's your, you think it's going to be a Disney Plus show character?
Okay, don't yell at me, both of you.
Is yours a man? Because we've mostly done women so far.
It is, but like, I think the one I'm going to say almost sounds like it's the one I want, but I swear this is the one that I think actually does have a shot.
You better have a strong argument.
Yeah, you always do. So I think it's possible. I'm not saying soon. I don't know when, okay? I'm just saying it's a possibility. I think a Mace Windu thing might happen. I think, just hear me out. Just hear me out. And no, it's not because I'm advocating for it. Come on. I can already see his face. I think in terms of, and I'm going back to this, like, yeah, I know Disney's branching out a bit on the Star Wars content. You know, like, again, Taika Waititi, for example, his movies will have nothing to do with anything we've seen, Skywalker Saga, whatever. But they just keep dipping back into the same ink. And look, I know there is a good amount of vocal call-outs for who would love to see Mace Windu again. I know Samuel Jackson has talked about it at every chance he gets these days. And, you know, no body, no death. That's how it works in movies and shows, though they did toss him out like a very, very high window while he's being electrocuted. Look, I'm not...
To be fair, like, Anakin Skywalker jumped off one of those buildings too and landed on a car. So, like, you never know.
Exactly. It's like a never know. It's like it's a Star Wars thing. We've seen characters that are sliced in half and come back. We've seen stabbed in the gut, get up the next day, go find a kid to kill. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a very specific spoiler, but it's a little. But, you know, I just like...
A little.
Just a little, but I'm not really telling you what from what. Anyways, there's a lot of surviving ridiculous things. And if they wanted to make it happen, they would just make it happen. Would it be silly that he'd be still alive? Of course it would be silly. It would be absolutely ridiculous. But I don't think that would be enough to deter them from doing it. I think if they think they could make enough money and get enough viewership off of it, I think they'll do it. And I think it's a possibility. Is it a huge possibility? No. But I do think it's a possibility.
If this is you're pretty sure this is going to happen show, I really want to know what your pie in the sky show is. Because Samuel Jackson is 73 years old right now.
I know. Oh, wow. He's that old, isn't he? Oh, my God.
He's 73. Look, I'm not.
No, you're right. No, you're right.
He has earned every single dollar that has led to him being the number one box office star in the history of the world.
73.
Not including Stanley. Samuel Jackson is a legend, and I don't want this to come across as me being negative towards him.
Oh, I know.
What story do you tell with a 70-year-old Mace Windu?
Oh, I don't know, but you know what I mean? I imagine he's in bad shape if you see Mace Windu in general, so maybe it'll still work. Because you see Mace Windu after that fight, there's no way he's in good shape. And I think we also fast forward years later. I don't know, him and old Boba Fett have a go at each other. Then we cut away to a Mandalorian episode because, you know, we can't have that. And then we cut back three episodes later. We forgot what happened there. We go back to the fight. They both kill each other at the same time. It's, I don't know, guys. I'm just, look,
I like the idea of it. It is funny. The whole like Mace Windu's alive thing is great. I don't know what the purpose of telling that story would be. Other than to say that Mace Windu did not fight against the Empire, which is weird, right? The problem with bringing Mace Windu back is that you can't bring him back pre-original trilogy, because Samuel Jackson is not going to be able to physically move like he did in 1999. And that's okay. Like, we age, and he still looks great. And honestly, the de-aging in Captain Marvel was awesome. I don't know how they pulled it off. It looked awesome, right? But the only way to tell that story with him now is if he's going to be the lead of the show. This is not if he cameos. I could see him cameoing in something. But if this is a Mace Windu show, they're not going to want to DH him for the entire show. It's going to be too expensive. So what you're going to get is a show about him at this age, post-original trilogy, which means that he's going to have not shown up for the fight against the Emperor. And that just doesn't seem like Mace Windu to me, right? And so and that's the problem with keeping any Jedi alive through the Empire.
I was going to say, how many Jedi do we have alive when the Empire is in full reign and no one goes no one goes to help
Luke? The Ahsoka TV show has to answer where the hell Ahsoka was during that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there are going to be those conversations, but with Mace Windu, that's a tough one because it feels like you're really, like, riding a weird line with that character.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. I think it's more like he's in exiled himself. I don't know what the story is. I'm just saying there, you know, you ask a good question of why tell that story. I feel that way about some others, but yeah, I'm saying it's a low chance, but I still kind of feel like there is a chance, but I did forget that he's 73 because I don't know. I just look at Samuel Jackson. He's just like the same guy I've looked at since I was a kid. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're like what? 50s or something, but no, he's 73. That's wild. Anyways,
yeah, and great, and he's crushing it. I'm very excited for Secret Wars. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm here for it. I don't know what the story is.
Oh no,
I don't think it'll happen.
No,
I think we might get a Samuel Jackson cameo in something though.
I hope so. I really hope at the very least I see a Mace Windu cameo at some point before this is all over.
I think if we really want him in a TV show, I think most likely thing would be season 2 of Tales of the Jedi. Because season 1 is Ahsoka and Count Dooku, mm-hmm. but Samuel Jackson, I believe, is voicing Mace Windu in an episode of that.
Nice.
So season 2, do 3 episodes about Mace Windu, and then I don't know who the other one is.
See, but that cracks the door open a bit.
Getting him as a voice.
Cracks the door open a bit.
Getting him as a voice does not crack the door open.
Cracks the door open.
75-year-old
Cracks
Mace
the door open, nerdy. Cracks the door open. Let's go. All right, Claudia, what's your, I don't want to say dream one, just one that you would just like, you would love for it to happen. Probably won't happen. Or maybe it could. I don't know. It's just really up to you.
I want it to be centered around Tala. I really, really enjoyed Tala. I know, but I want to talk about it. Like, how did, you know, from when she switched over, she started obviously as an officer, then started working on the path, started building this out, building the rebellion overall.
Man.
I would love to centralize on her story. I really enjoyed the actress. I think she did a phenomenal job. I got really connected to her and what she was in there for. 4 episodes?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Feel that strongly about a character.
Indira Varma, right?
Or maybe it was even 3 episodes because it was the third. Yeah,
I don't know. It's a good pick. I like it.
Yeah. So do I think it'll happen? It'll be 100% centralized around her? I doubt it. But I really did feel drawn to her. I felt she was a powerful character, and I really enjoyed the fact that she flipped.
Yeah, I was very upset when she died for, like, 1, because I love the character, and 2, and I was like, no, even though I knew it wasn't going to happen, I desperately wanted a show from this character. I would watch an entire show around her.
Yep.
Please. And then she died, and that was sad. That's a good one.
I think the setting of the show would have to be, like, her recruitment and, like, her fall from, because you can't do the, like, her as a spy storyline, because we already know the biggest beat of that, right?
Yeah.
She hasn't had any problems up until then. And so you would have to do the, like, a woman working for the Empire and realizing that it's bad storyline, which could be really fun. There's an element of that in the novel Lost Stars, the Star Wars book. And it is just a fantastic storyline to watch someone genuinely, like, join the Empire thinking they're doing it for the right reasons and thinking that the Empire is good for them and coming to the realization that that's not the case, that's not true. And I think that you could really do that story beautifully on television. I think it might be a little bit too like deep and complex for a Disney Plus show. Yeah. They're like, you know, they like to keep the black and white of it fairly simple. But I would love to see that. I would love to see the inner workings of like a bureaucrat in the Empire who realizes, oh, we're evil.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
There's also an element that in Star Wars Battlefront 2, the video game, the main character, although she flips back, she like flips from the Empire to the Rebels way too quickly because it's a very short game. But same element of like she thinks everything that they're doing is right. And like she eventually, you know, obviously has that realization. It's like, oh, crap.
I would argue the inciting incident for Aiden Versio flipping makes a lot of sense.
I'd argue that that happened way too fast, and I am not backing down off that.
Really?
That was the biggest flip in like I've ever seen. It's too way too quick. It was way too quick for me. I still liked it for what it was. It was just it was all right.
I don't know how you could it's tough because not everyone here has played it, so we're having a conversation that not everyone here can be a part of, but yeah. My two cents on that is that I don't know how she could live through that moment and still work for the Empire. And sometimes life's about big moments that move quick, Jeffers.
Yeah, three and a half hours into a game.
I was a stage theater actor until one day I got fired because COVID, and now I talk about Star Wars on the internet, so you know, like, change your life.
You just were a stage actor, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, get him, Claudia, get him.
That's true. Get him. The world premiere of a new musical. And
shove that logic down his throat.
Exactly.
Shove that logic down his throat.
Claudia, thank you for reminding me that I have a giant ego and that I've earned that.
I have a giant ego. Dr. Cox Scrubs. All right.
One thing I did want to mention that you brought up, Nerdy, is I actually wouldn't be that surprised if Tala's story became a book, though, in the Star Wars universe. Yeah. I feel like that could be...
That feels really like inevitability at this point.
I would hope.
I think a show's only unlikely because we're getting Andor, and like...
It's similar, right?
Right.
Yeah, what would similar. He do with it?
Yeah,
right?
It would be... They would see that as like audiences would... Like a general, like, you know, less hardcore fans would probably like be like, wait, isn't that like the same thing? Are they on the same side? Like, what's happening?
It's
like,
more that I just got... Yeah. I was just so surprised that I got so attached to this actress and this, you know, character
very
so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's rare that, you know, you have them for such a short progression. You kind of know that going in, you're like, we're probably not going to see you to the end of this. Mm-hmm. But it really meant a lot to me even when she did, you know, sacrifice for herself for the cause.
Comparable to like Rogue One, for example. That's like a 2-hour movie where you absolutely know that all these characters are dying, and then yet a lot of people got very attached to those characters.
Yeah.
I will say there is an incredible track record of bringing Game of Thrones actors into Star Wars and having me love them. Because Indira Varma was from the desert. What are they called? Not Marine, whatever. The storyline that the show did not care about.
It's fine.
She's one of the Sand Snakes. We get obviously Emilia Clarke as Kira. Yep. Great character. We've already said we want a show from her on this. And then we've also had, obviously, Pedro Pascal, the Red Viper. Also from, what is the fucking part of Westeros they're from?
I don't remember.
I want to call it Dune, but it's not Dune. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's the one where he gets his head squeezed there eventually. That was the only reason they were hovering over that area. It was just like, we just need to get to this gruesome moment eventually.
What? Mm-hmm. What was that? Dorne.
Hey, that's close.
That's why
they're both deserts.
Yeah, Clarus really doesn't like one of those, though. So,
yeah. No, that's not it. She loves the book,
but not the movie.
Yeah, she didn't like the Dune movie.
Yeah.
I didn't love it either.
I liked it. All right. Anyways, we're starting.
No, I liked it. Here's the thing. I liked it. I felt it's a sci-fi thing. It's relevant.
Yeah, I know.
Here's my thing about Dune.
All right.
It felt like half the thing. And so like...
Oh, I think it literally, I haven't read the book, but it literally was it not? That's not the full book. It's
I would have slept for a good hour in that movie and nothing would have importance have happened. And then I would have woken up and be like, oh, there's action again.
You are savage.
I think it's beautifully shot. I think Denis Villeneuve is one of the most fantastic visual filmmakers of our time. I think that it is a part of a movie. And when I get the whole story, I will be able to kind of figure out how I feel about it. But in terms of Dune Part 1, it ended in a weird place for me where I was like, oh, the story's starting.
Yeah.
Like the moment where the movie ends is where the main character's arc of emotional like movement begins. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay, that was like the prologue to the story I want to see.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's beautiful and it's well acted, and there are some weird choices, but there are some excellent choices, and there's a lot of, like, it's incredible. The sound design is maybe the best sound design I've ever heard in a film, but yep. There is a point where I was like, oh, I'm not going to get what I want until part two comes out. Nope. And that colored the whole experience for me. When I see part one and part two together, I'll see how I feel about it.
Yeah.
My right. television show, Pie in the Sky, never going to happen, but God damn do I want it. There's a period in Star Wars where there's a lot of room for stories. And that period takes place over 30 years between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. Now, we've seen a little bit. You might be saying, but nerdy, we've seen The Mandalorian. We've seen Book of Boba Fett. What we have not seen is the story of a janitor in Star Wars. And that's the story that I want to see more so than any other, more so than even Dex's Diner. I want to see O Peep It. The beautiful, wonderful, insane-looking little janitor with the best goggles in the galaxy. I want to see him cleaning up the Colossus. I want to know what his day-to-day is like. I want to see him on dates. I want the behind-the-scenes of O Peep It. And if it's even better, if they allow us to go beyond the sequel trilogy, what happens to O Peep It after the Colossus? After Star Wars Resistance? You don't know. I don't know, but we should know. Okay, so I want O Peep It, animated TV show on Disney+. And I want it now because I love him so much. And I want to know if he got his wet vac back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Neither of you know what I'm talking about.
No,
Adam, do you?
Not at all.
I mean, no, but at the same time, am I surprised? Absolutely not.
No, we like Lord of the Rings. Ask? We didn't even know who Glendale was or whatever
so
her name
say
is.
Say you have 5 minutes with Dave Filoni.
Oh my God.
Would this be the question you would ask, or would you ask him something else?
That wasn't the question.
That I would ask him?
What would you ask him about the O Peep It story since you're never going to get
it? No, because Dave Filoni produced Resistance, but that wasn't one. He was not like an active story.
Okay.
I would ask the Resistance team about that. Yeah, of course. O Peep It is my favorite part of that show. I became... O Peep It isn't even really a character, right? O Peep It does not have any lines of dialogue in the entire show. But there is this running gag throughout Resistance that there's this janitor whose job it is to clean the Colossus, the ship that they're on.
Mm.
And as the First Order starts taking over the ship more and more, O Peep It has more and more of his cleaning supplies taken away, the like mechanized ones. And so it gets to the point where like the First Order is in full control and he's literally like scrubbing the floors with a sponge because he's like, they took away my stuff, but I'm still going to clean. And I fell deeply, deeply in love with O Peep It over the course of those two seasons. And he is genuinely one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars. He's never said anything. He just has like indignant like moments where like he's like just cleaned a hallway and then like Kaz would scuff it up and he would like fall to his knees and like be like, meow. And I love him. And I just want that show. I'll make that show. If you just give me a talented team of animators and like $1 million. I will make you a hit
$1 million
show.
You can't get the budget down a bit lower than that.
It's O Peep It. He deserves quality. You know what I mean? He deserves a story told. Janitors are people too, Jeffers.
Oh,
I know
you're
that
coming
you're
at me.
An elitist San Francisco boy and you guys have robot janitors.
I am the poorest person on this podcast. So no, I am not elitist.
That's fair. You are very poor.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we all know that, you know, Claudia just really, she took you in. She's been caring for you.
Okay. I wouldn't go that far.
He made dinner and walked the dogs. Let's not forget
and
that.
I pay my portion of the rent. All yes. Right. Now everyone can pull back a little bit.
Claudia, I felt like you were coming in to defend him there and you just made it sound
worse.
Yeah,
you made
it
worse.
Sound like he
really
works
did.
There.
Yeah.
Really he's my bellboy.
Yeah.
He carries my
bag. Well, you said I sheltered him in. I was like, it's not like he doesn't help out.
You're not helping. You are literally making this worse. I don't want to be here anymore.
Oh my God. Boom. Roasted. O Peep It. Oh, the legend of O Peep It coming to Disney+, 2024. Showrunner.
2024.
Me.
That's actually pretty soon.
Yeah, it's too soon for animated. Mm-hmm. It'd be 2025. But okay. I just want it. I love that character so much. It's never going to happen. I know that. But O Peep It brings me joy. In just in little ways, and I would love to see more of the little guy.
Mm. Okay.
$5 that Jeffers is about pod racing.
Oh well, if we said it had to follow like a character, if it was about a concept, I'd have two concepts. Yes, the one would be pod racing. The other one would have been a what if series. That would have been dope too. Also never going to happen. I would love a what if series. It could be animated or live action. It'd probably have to be animated because what I would want would be like, for example, Anakin doesn't turn to the dark side that day and then play out the rest of the storyline of Star Wars for me. It, you know, stuff like that would never happen. So anyways, but that's not what we talked about. So mine's much lamer than that in comparison. I'm sorry I don't have anything so interesting as a janitor from a show that even I have not seen. So mine's going to be Jango Fett, and it's never going to happen because we've had The Mandalorian and Boba Fett. Jango Fett's one of my favorite characters. I don't care. Fight me. I don't care. I want to know how Jango Fett gets to where he is. I want to see his bounty hunting adventures. I want to see how he becomes the best. I want to see how he somehow gets into a deal with the Kaminoans and becomes the clone boy poster boy. I want to know why he had Boba Fett as an unaltered clone. Was he that desperate to pass on the bloodline? Like, I don't know. How did he separate from the Mandalorians? You know, like, how did, you know, they clearly weren't on good terms. I have very many questions. Will they ever get answered? No. That's okay. This is whatever I want. So, yeah, that's mine. That's mine.
I don't know. I don't think that he would lead it, but I could see him being in a... like if they were to do an animated show set in the rise of Palpatine,
I
could see him being a main. I could see that storyline being important in that as the like search for who the clones is going to be goes on.
How to get chosen? That's what I'd love.
The problem with live action Jango is like, how do you play him? Like who plays him?
Yeah, for sure.
Tamora Morrison's too old now, right? So it's like,
that
would be like the one kind of question about it. But I like the idea because Jango Fett's awesome.
Yeah, I love him. I also think the main reason it would also never get played, the reasons you just mentioned, is I think having the Mandalorian Boba Fett, it would just, at this point, probably confuse a lot of the audience. Obviously not people that have seen, you know,
Speaking of that, Clarice wore her pink Mando outfit to Anime North this weekend.
I saw that. How'd that go?
She was talking to someone, and he was like, oh, Boba Fett. And she was like, well, no, I'm Din Djarin from The Mandalorian. And he was like, yeah, Boba Fett. And she's like, well, no, like a different Mandalorian. And he was like, oh, I thought that was Boba Fett. And I was like, oh, yeah, there are people who don't know that those are different characters.
Wait, but they were on screen together at one point. So is that double Boba Fett to him?
Well, I'm assuming he hasn't seen it, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
It was one of those weird conversations to overhear where I was like, oh, yeah, there are people out there who don't like automatically consume all of this as fast as possible so that they... know everything like I do.
So like us with not knowing who Galadriel was.
Oh well, yeah, like for me, like and you know, we were for those that need context, Clyde and I reacted to a Lord of the Rings Ring of Power trailer, and we were ripped to shreds in multiple different ways. Some people liked it. Anyways, the point is, I am bad with names in general. People, characters, literally everything. And I really like Lord of the Rings, but I am not anywhere near like a super fan. Like, I don't know the in and outs of it. I don't know the lore, the huge amount of lore. I just love the films, love the characters. That's it. Like,
And I got confused by the age.
Oh, me, there's just like, there's so many names. They're all so long. It's too much. That's how I feel. But that's funny because I look at Star Wars, right? And I know like, you know, so many things about it. So that it just goes to show. That's kind of actually what made me think of this was I am that general audience when it comes to like Lord of the Rings, but like Star Wars, I'm on the other side of it for the most part. So like, yeah, I can see how it would be confusing for audiences if you tried to make a Jango Fett anything at this point. Because a lot of people, their entry point was Mandalorian. I think they would get super confused. They'd be like, what? This Din Djarin 2.0? Like, you know, that's fair. So,
I think the difference between Boba Fett and Galadriel is that Boba Fett has like three lines in the original trilogy. And like,
yeah, but I never knew her name.
That's fair.
How often is her name actually said in the movie?
A lot.
Okay, well, there you go.
I also was like,
we have to go see Galadriel. That's Galadriel. Galadriel is the most beautiful of Zills.
I was very
She's also the
confused.
Like the opening dialogue, the like 2,500 years ago. That's also Galadriel.
Oh yeah, she's
like,
great.
She's in six movies, and she's a very important character. So I just think it's for that's why it's like funny watching that trailer action for Clarice and I, as we were like, oh, they're going to get fucking, they're going to get roasted for this.
Oh, yeah.
They said like, Galadin. 5,000
years, though. I was like, how long do elves live again? I don't know.
They're immortal.
So that makes
sense. Yeah, you told me that they were immortal. What are you talking about? If you forgot the literal actual things that you said to me?
They look young, though.
Like, no, Claudia, you have literally said to me that they were immortal. You told me that. Like, you said that to me. Anyways,
my point in that is only that Clarus and I found it very funny, and we knew that you guys were going to get taken to task over it because they were like, oh, no, they goofed. It's not as bad as my big goof in a trailer reaction. When the Batman was in trailer react, when trailers were coming out for it, we were in the middle of a trailer, and I was hyped. I was in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I called, said Zoe Saldana. And it's not, it's Zoe Kravitz.
That's an actress's name. That's not that bad.
Oh, sure. And like, look, it was in the moment. I messed up. I know I messed up. I know it's Zoe Kravitz. I know they're different people, right?
Yeah.
But there were just so many people in the chat being like, oh, you're racist because you can't tell the two women apart.
And I was like, yeah.
I fucked up a name.
Oh, yeah, and that's the other thing. Like
I'm sorry. Like, I know they're different people. I'm not like, you know, it's just one of those weird things where people took it to like, a slip in the moment, and I'm fucking dyslexic. Do you know how hard names are for me? They're hard. Okay,
you're very good at them compared to me. I'm not dyslexic, so I'm just.
I have to think really hard about them, and like certain things are easier for me.
Right.
If two names have like if two first names have similar sounds in their last name, mm-hmm. that's really hard for me.
Okay, that makes sense.
We're having a problem in our book club for Wheel of Time because everybody's name starts with an S.
Oh,
and it's like Saldia,
no.
Soralia.
No.
Like, and I'm like, fucking hell, guys. Like, no. I don't know. But yeah, no, you guys are fine. It was funny. I knew you were going to get those comments.
No, it's fine. And that's the other thing. And that's the thing about trailer reactions, too, is like sometimes I'm just excited and I'm not really focusing on like the minute details. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. I know I've done in other videos, too. And they've pointed out. I'm like, yeah, well, I did know that. I don't actually need you to point that out. I did know that. I was just spewing and like talking and like excited about what I was seeing on screen. But I mean, not the Lord of the Rings one though. That one is just, you know, just dummy.
I think that people who've never like made content like this don't have the perspective of like, once the lights are on and the camera's going and you're like, oh, I need to talk because I don't want to edit. They don't realize how much your brain just completely shuts down.
Yeah.
You're and like, God, I want to Google this. I was like, oh, I need to fact check myself.
Yeah. it's similar like with streaming too. They're like, oh, you say something and somebody like repeat that back to you 60 seconds later. And you're like, you just said it. I'm like, you don't understand. I am literally doing 3 to 4 things at once. I say a lot of things on here. I don't know if that's not helping me. So,
yeah,
similar.
And you've just dealt with technical difficulties getting the thing going anyway, so you're stressed because you're late, and you can't remember a goddamn thing. And you're having 5 conversations at once, right?
Exactly.
So you're like trying to remember which part of which conversation you're in, and so when someone brings up an old conversation, you're like, "Hey, guys, I don't know."
Yeah.
Exactly. Clarus is the worst for this. Clarus will forget entire trailers that we've reacted to. And so like I'll be like, "Oh, that movie comes out this weekend." And she's like, "What movie?" And I'm like, we've done 3. We've put up multiple trailer reactions to this. How do you not know the movie I'm talking about right now?
That's impressive.
I was like, Nope comes out tomorrow.
See, that's impressive. Like, Nope.
I don't know what Nope is. I was like, no, it's the babe.
Okay, you're not that bad, but Claudia will see entire movies. And like within a year or whatever time frame, I will bring up something from that movie specifically because I'm the type of person where most movies I see one time and for some mm-hmm. reason I can remember like the most important plot points. And so I'll bring something up to her and she'll be like, what? I don't remember that. I'm like, Claudia, you were sitting next to me. We watched it together. She's like, yeah, I just it's been like 6 months or it's been like a year. And I'm like, OK, but like I remember it. And there's a lot of, you have to refresh on movies consistently.
And I've watched Lord of the Rings like 8 times and I still couldn't remember Galadriel. Like, it's bad.
That is bad.
Goldfish brain.
I have that for Netflix shows. Like, if you ask me the plot of any Netflix show I've watched, except maybe Stranger Things, like, guys, I don't know.
Is that because you think that's because you binge them? Dick. You think that's because you binge them? Yeah.
It's because there's no conversation about them.
Yeah.
Whereas shows where I watch the episode and then spend a week being like, ooh, next episode, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It becomes ingrained. Whereas shows that I like watch six straight hours of while I'm working and while I have my laptop open or while I'm on my phone. And like, I can tell you like the plot of First Kill, which is this Netflix show I watched last week in one day. I watched all 8 hours. It wasn't good. So I didn't really pay attention all that much to it. And so ultimately, like, I don't know. I lesbian teenage vampire girl.
Well, it also just becomes like one in your mind. It just becomes one long running like. Yeah. Episode, like at the end of the day, it becomes like a 10-hour freaking episode. That's not how it was, but it's kind of how your brain catalogs it, I think, at that point. Because, you know,
well, and I'm seeing that with the MCU, and we're gonna start seeing that with Star Wars, right?
Yeah,
where it's like, wait, when did that happen and in what? I already feel that way about the books,
yeah, because we're gonna be watching so much at some point.
I think the Queen's trilogy, I haven't finished the third one yet, but I think the Queen's trilogy is fantastic, excellent novels.
Did you finish the Revenge of the Sith book?
Shadows of the Sith? No, I haven't finished it yet.
No.
I need to, because it's so good. But we should talk about that next week.
I haven't read
it. Do you have time to finish it? Okay.
We'll
make a podcast about that soon. I love the Queen series, but because all the titles are Queen something, I don't know which one's which. Like, if you were like, what is the plot of Queen's Hope?
Right.
I don't know if I would remember which of the three books is Queen's Hope.
That's kind of fair.
It's Queen's Shadow, Queen's Hope, and Queen's Peril.
And it's all about her anyways. So, I mean, like, you know.
I know, but like, I can't remember which one's which. And I'm reading one of them right now. So I think Star Wars is going to start dealing with that, right? The MCU is dealing with that, where it's like, we're 24 movies in plus all these shows. There are a lot of people who have seen every single Marvel movie that if you were like, Clarissa's one. I was like, what's the plot of Iron Man 3? A movie I know she's seen. And she was like, that's the one with the racetrack, right? I was like, nope, that's Iron Man 2. She's like, oh, I don't know.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
Claudia and I binged them at one point because it was when we first started dating, and we were both had a cold, and she had not seen a bunch of them. Probably like 8 of them? Anyway, so yeah. Avengers Endgame was coming out, right? So I'm like, yeah. All right, this is the time. And we just like, boom, 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 boom. And like, I don't think she remembers
much of it. Is Iron Man 3 the one with the World Fair?
No, that
That's
is Iron
two.
Man 2.
That's 2.
That's
true. To be fair, in both their defenses, I think a lot of people purposely forgot Iron Man 3. Just saying.
Iron Man 3 is fantastic. I will stand by Shane Black and his direction of that movie. Well, Iron Man 3 is one of the few MCU movies where you see a genuine character arc for the superhero protagonist. Where you genuinely see, they don't go super into the alcoholism, but you see Tony Stark go through a full journey through his PTSD and alcoholism post Avengers.
It does focus more on Tony than like Iron Man, like in my opinion. Like,
and also the plane fall sequence for Iron Patriot is one of the best like modern action sequences that doesn't have any fighting in it. It's so good. It's so well filmed. It's tense and suspenseful, but it's not shooting. It is literally just this moment of like, is this possible? And he pulls it off. And it's the way it's shot, the music, everything. Iron Man 3, Shane Black, the controversy of the Mandarin thing overshadowed the conversation of the quality of the film.
I remember
and so
that.
What people remember about Iron Man 3 is the like, oh, they ruined the Mandarin, which obviously they didn't because Wenwu was great in Shang-Chi. But
it was so fun.
I like Iron Man 3 a lot. But yeah, Clarus and Claudia, no memory of it.
Yeah, you're talking about it, and I'm like trying to jog my memory.
You don't remember Air Force One exploding and the president and all of the people are falling and the Iron Patriot comes in and catches them and they create a human bridge of people. I can vividly like audio describe the scene as it happens from memory. And you're looking at me right now, Claudia, like. No, but I think that this is relevant to Star Wars, right? Because are getting into this Disney Plus era. We're talking about shows that we want. But, like, all of the shows that we talked about today, except Kira, I think Kira's the only one that we talked about today that might actually happen. And it's because of the Darth Maul thing. I think that Aphra will end up in a show. I just don't think she'll be the lead of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with the Disney Plus thing is, how do you make these shows matter, right? And I would love to see an Opeepa show. It would have to be a kid show for very young kids, because otherwise... Who's it for and why does it matter, right?
You.
And, well, yeah, of
I'm
course.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
I kind of want to get an Opeepit tattoo, but it's so weird and vague that, like, no one would know. I think, like Joseph Scrimshaw and Ken Knapsack from Force Center would get it, and nobody else. It would be me and those two men.
That'd be kind of cool. It'd be, like, your little, like, secret Opeepit club.
He's a weird looking dude though, so it would be a weird tattoo. It would be weird. He has a like big oval head, and then he has these bright red goggles and a beak. he's insane.
That sounds like a nerdy character. Yep.
And his head is way too big for his little body. And instead of hands, he has like these like claw things that come in two parts, like Bender. And
oh my god,
I love him so much. So at Star Wars Celebration 2019, which is where this shirt is from, this is like one of the Celebration shirts.
I remember.
At the Resistance panel, they gave out posters for the show to everyone who was at the panel, like the Andor posters that we have.
Yeah.
And on the front, it was the like floating heads posters that everybody makes for the animated show. And it's all the main characters. And then on the back, it looked like someone had walked across it. And Opeepit was scrubbing at the footprints. And I was like, why would anyone display the front of this poster when the back of this poster is it's an Opeepit poster. And it's one of my prized possessions. I think it's so fucking cool that we'll put Opeepit on the back of the poster for those like two fans that like.
So do you have the back of the poster out facing?
It's in the basement. We haven't hung it yet. So never show the front of that poster.
Yeah, totally. All right.
Liked Resistance more than most people, but I don't care about that. I care about Opeepit and Opeepit only.
Yeah. I feel like I have to watch the Resistance now just for Opeepit.
You just look up what it looks like.
Recommend Resistance. I think it's very fun. It is definitely for younger audiences.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to get frustrated by the tone of it isn't for everyone. And I totally get that. I think it really is an excellent show for young audiences, and I'm glad they made it. I don't think that all Star Wars has to be in for adults, and I don't think any Star Wars should actually be only for adults, right? But yeah, I think it's fun. I know Peepit's great. Kaz is fun. There's some great stuff on there. There's some really cool like space sequences because the animation. So it's a good show. Season 2 really takes off though from season 1.
Yeah, Claudia, maybe if we ever get through Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff like
Hey, we did start watching Clone Wars again, so.
Watch 3 episodes. You guys. Out of what is a lot more. But yes, you are correct.
I don't know how we're going to watch Clone Wars because you know what's coming?
Everything.
House of the Dragon, Rings of Power, and Andor, and Bad Batch within like 10 days.
And then Tales of the Jedi is not far off.
I think Tales of the Jedi probably will be October.
They said, I know, but still, that's not that far off when you think about how much will be going on during that time slash right before it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just mean for like Clarus and I, like, I don't know if we can add another show.
Oh,
like
no.
Five is going to be, and She-Hulk. And like, if we're going to do reactions for all that shit, like, fudge.
Yeah, the fact that you're doing more live reactions, that's going to make that pretty tough.
They get views.
Yeah. So anyways, that was it. I do want a pod racing show. I would take anything. I just want to keep putting that out there in the world.
Honestly, I could do like a show around the announcers. The double-headed announcers always have amused me. I thought they were so funny. They remind me of like the two old Muppets that like just yell at each other the whole time. The old guys. They're like
Yeah.
They give me that energy.
They're in Star Wars Skywalker Saga Lego. It's great.
That's Stanley and Waldorf, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like even if they did like a spoof and just like had those guys just like talking shit the entire time over a movie, like a
You've Lion watched King that
one and a half or whatever.
So that's the show you actually want then. That's the show you actually want.
No.
I don't want a show. I want a movie.
I want a movie.
If you're gonna do pod racing, I think that you structure it the same way that you structure like a driving movie. Like, what was that one with Christian Bale and Matt Damon?
I almost said F1
year,
as well.
Right?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
Ago.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Ford
versus Ferrari. Thanks.
He got a name
excellent
right.
Excellent film. That is the right structure for a pod racing thing. If you're going to do pod racing, do it in a movie, build up to the big race. You know what I mean? End with the Boonta Eve classic, but specifically end with the Boonta Eve classic that Anakin wins.
That'd be great.
But like, he's not in the entire rest of the movie, and he's never brought up that Anakin's going to be there. It's about the other pod racers, and they're all like, who's going to win this year's Boonta Eve Classic?
Die.
None of them die. They all survive. All the pod racers survive the Boonta Eve Classic.
No.
Yeah, they crash.
One of them literally blows up because he hits a full face stone wall. The whole thing blows up. He slams right into it. He did not survive that.
They throw him in some Bacta. I'm pretty sure he survived.
No, he didn't. No, he did
not. But it doesn't matter. He can die in the movie. I'm just saying, like, have this movie about all these pod racers that we know and have been pod racers for years, right? So you don't expect it. And it leads up to the Boonta Eve classic. And then Anakin Skywalker's pod is pulled out. And you clue in the movie that you're like, oh my God, it's that Boonta Eve classic? No! And then all of these pod racers who have become like your heroes throughout this movie, you just watch them all lose the final race.
You have no idea how on board I am for that.
It would be incredible.
I would lose my fucking cookies.
And then you
I would
have
be so happy.
Come out and he would just be cleaning up the wreckage.
It's Opeepit's grandmother.
Opeepit's grandmother.
Yeah.
Chewbacca's grandmother and all the grandmothers from the Star Wars. They all get together and tell stories about their son.
And you get the singing hut from Star Wars Visions to do a song.
Yeah.
You just go like full on. I would love that. I would honestly. Oh, that's the show. That's the movie I want. I want the like sad sports tragedy that is the Boonta Eve classic.
Don't put anything past Taika, you know? You never know. You never know.
If anyone would make a pod racing movie, it would be Taika Waititi. Look at the cast of characters that you have, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of those pod racers, like Vagina Face, the little dinosaur man. I know they all have names, and I'm usually good with their names, but I'm blanking on literally all of them right now.
I would also love it if he had just like, because it was specifically Taika. I would love it if he had like a cameo brought in of somebody he worked with a lot. Like he brought in like Chris Hemsworth, who just like is this unknown character that never even makes it to the Boonta Eve, and he just crashes and dies or something. Just like something out of left field. But he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it because he said he's going away from everything Skywalker Saga. He's not going, not revisiting anything that's even remotely what we've seen.
I don't know. I feel like he'll revisit like locations.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think he might be going for new planets if, of course, that gets approved. Because I feel like that's an approval process, not a I do what I want process.
I don't know. Based on Thor, Love, and Thunder, I think he just kind of does what he
wants. No, that's true.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I don't know. He did whatever he wanted in that film.
We finally saw
it. The fourth scene with the goats. I was like, wow, they really let Taika just do this job forever.
Yeah. The goats. Screaming goats. My goats. Anyways, okay, cool. That should be probably it. This has been fun, though. We'll see which one of these we get.
Totes my goats.
You can find the Nerdy Nightly at everywhere. Nerdy Nightly. Check out his YouTube channel where he does a lot of that.
That was a horrifying look on your face.
I guess check out YouTube if you want to see that. You can find Claudia at I Hate Clapping 7.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know why there's a
on
7
on Twitter, because there was no I couldn't do just a regular one. I didn't want to do underlines, so 7. Yeah, it was
okay, sure. And you can find me at Just Jeffers. Anyways, this has been fun. We will see what happens next week. The Star Wars universe news and like what's been going on has been pretty quiet. It's been very quiet, but I enjoy these conversations, so I'm fine with it. But You know,
wishful thinking. We love it.
Yeah.
If you are in the nerdosphere and you're like, it feels like there hasn't been a lot of news lately, this weekend is San Diego Comic-Con. So stay tuned to your site. Stay tuned to your tweeters. Stay tuned to your life, because you're going to start hearing about some stuff. I don't know if it'll be Star Wars. I think Star Wars is going to be held for D23 later on in the year. I think D23 is September this year.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised if we get like an Andor trailer or something this weekend. Marvel does have a big Hall H panel this year, which they have not in past years. Marvel and Star Wars are more connected than you think. And if Kevin Feige is on stage and Kevin Feige has news to share about the Kevin Feige Star Wars movie, it's a possibility that he will bring it up.
Forgot about that.
And if you're like, they would never, it's going to be a Marvel thing. They brought up Indiana Jones at Star Wars Celebration. So
that's true.
It works for corporate synergy, they will do it. I wouldn't be surprised if you got more Star Wars news this weekend than you think.
Money, baby.
So hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully next week we will have an episode talking about the Star Wars of San Diego Comic-Con 2022.
Yep. Have a good week, everybody. Utini, may the Force be with you. Bye.